Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. The holidays often mean family time, uncles, aunts, grandparents, and cousins galore. In your case, that may be a good thing, or that may not. Throw in a recent divorce or other difficult situation, and you've got the makings of a family-style Molotov cocktail. It can be a time of almost unbearable stress and a holiday time visit that you absolutely dread. Today, a conversation with clinical psychologist Harriet Lerner of Lawrence, whose latest book is Marriage Rules, a manual for the married and the coupled up. It's now out in paperback. Harriet Lerner is an expert on the psychology of women and family relationships. She's the author of the New York Times big bestseller, The Dance of Anger, and she's appeared on The Oprah Winfrey Show, CNN, and NPR, and she's right back here with us right now. Harriet, welcome back, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you.
Now, we're supposed to be close with our families, and yet, you know, and yet, a lot of people simply dread these holiday visits. What's the main issue here?
The main issue is that families are difficult. We don't choose the family that we're born into. The family we're born into is the deck of cards that fate hands us.
Yes.
But it's our job to make the most of it. It is important to understand that all families are intense. Many painful things have happened before we ever entered the picture. And if you think that your family is calm, that just means that the intensity is being handled by superficiality and distance, because every family is intense.
And what do you mean intense?
Well, many painful things have happened that just get passed down the generations, immigrations, losses, stresses that don't ever really get resolved in one generation and get passed along to the next. So sometimes you don't see the stress. I mean, we can't observe anxiety or stress, but we can observe the signs of it in our family of origin. We can observe that people cut off from each other. We can observe that people get very polarized around an issue.
Yeah.
You know, Uncle Joe says sit and, you know, you stand.
Yeah.
So you can observe the signs and symptoms of stress. And also, you know, family doesn't bring out our most mature selves.
Yeah.
I believe that everyone has at least one family relationship where a fog descends upon our brain and turns it to mush, whether this happens with your mom or your Uncle Sam or your ex, your sister. We all have at least one relationship.
This notion that there are these long histories in families, you talk about that in Marriage Rules. And one of your pieces of advice is that folks who are entering into a difficult family situation, one way to sort of help yourself deal with that is to know something about the history, the family tree, what's going on before, which helps you understand what might be happening in the present, I guess.
Absolutely. The more that you know where your mother's coming from and where your father is coming from, the more that you're going to understand them, and that can lower your reactivity a bit. That can lower your intensity a bit. For example, in my family, I grew up always irritated at my father because he would never speak out. My mother ran the show. Mm. You know, she would decide how my sister and I were raised and what art would hang on the walls and how money would be spent and whether my father would get the burned piece of toast. And he would never speak. He would never say, you know, I disagree or I see it this way. And it was very interesting to learn more about his family of origin when I got older and became a good questioner, because he came from a family where if people got mad at you, they would cut off and never speak to you again.
Wow.
His big sister wasn't speaking to their mom. My dad's mother was cut off. My grandmother was cut off from every single person in her family of origin. And so it went. And behind all these cutoffs were tremendous grief about a very painful immigration from Russia that no one ever talked about or processed. But the point is that as I learn more about my dad...
And once you understand that, yeah.
Yeah, I understood that, you know, for him to move into conflict or to even disagree to him was to risk, in his mind, risk losing a relationship. So
and that completely changes the way you look at your father and helps you understand why he is the way he is.
Right. And it's part of growing up because it's part of maturing. The more you know about your family, the more objectively you know your history, the better you know yourself.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that you're not going to get reactive and clutch and go into fight or flight, because we all do, but it helps.
You know, are there some things during the holiday cycle, some typical situations that people tend to get really ginned up about and go off the handle? Are there moments that you can point to that maybe help guide people through them? The big holiday dinner, for instance. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
I would advise people to think about what the hot spots are in your family. You know, it may be you can anticipate what's going to push your buttons in the next big holiday feast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and anticipate that.
For example, it may be that you're going to get reactive because your big sister is going to get very bossy. Or you're going to get reactive because your little brother just sits there in the chair and expects everyone to wait on him. And you're going to get reactive because your mom, you're going to walk in the door, and within 5 minutes, your mom's going to have you in the corner, and she's going to be saying, "Let me tell you what your dad did now." Mm. You know, and mm-hmm. you feel this clutch. So, or, you know, Uncle Joe is going to start giving his political views and you know that you're going to get hooked into an argument.
There's always an Uncle Joe out there.
Right, or an Uncle Charlie. So the first thing to understand about the holidays is that there are certain ways that family members move under stress. And the holidays are stressful. And there are only about five ways that people will move. You know, either someone's going to distance or someone's going to overfunction,
yeah,
take over, get bossy. Someone's going to underfunction, not pull their weight. Or you will get a lot of gossip. You can measure the amount of tension and anxiety in a family by the amount of gossip, meaning that people will talk about other people rather than directly to those people. So the first thing to realize is that the holidays are a great time to observe each family member, and that includes yourself,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to put on your anthropologist hat so you don't take it
So personally,
exactly, mm-hmm. you don't take it so personally. You say, wow, you know, my big sister who's acting like she has the truth of the universe, you know, that is a barometer of her anxiety, because that's what she does when her self-esteem is low and
yeah.
she's anxious. So it's a great time just to observe your family and yourself.
Yeah.
And when you get hooked.
And one of your points here, if I'm hearing you right here, it's good for folks to anticipate what these moments are going to be and maybe what visualize how they're going to handle this, which, again, maybe helps you remove yourself from that moment and that's the spontaneity, the flashpoint of that moment a little bit.
Exactly, because most of us are on automatic pilot and we're going to have the same tensions and we're going to go round and round like a broken record. If you can anticipate what the hot spots will be, you can make a plan to surprise your family and yourself by trying on a new you
mm-hmm.
and doing something different. And that actually can be a very fun, not that it's easy, and very maturing process.
Our phone number here, if you have a question to run by Harriet Lerner about what you're up against this holiday season, what are you dreading, how are you going to deal with it? Harriet Lerner is a great person to get some good advice from. 816-235-2888 is the phone number. Our email address, UpToDate@KCUR.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. You know, again, there is something that is just oddly counterintuitive about all this, because this is family time. You know, we were, you know, generations ago, people were a lot closer to each other. And yet, these days, when you bring people together, it sends the stress meter just through the roof. And in theory, you might think it shouldn't be that way.
It's very easy to idealize the good old days.
Yeah.
But part of the reason that the good old days were so good is that we didn't talk openly about what actually was going on in people's houses. So I believe that family is difficult and has always been difficult. And that said, it's also our most important and influential context. So if you can go back home for a family visit and have a goal, the goal may be simply to survive,
mm-hmm.
you know, be ambulatory and breathing when you leave. The goal may be that you're not going to get into that same old fight with your dad,
mm-hmm.
that you're not going to participate, that you're just going to use humor and change the subject. That can be a huge goal. The goal may be that if you're the overfunctioner and you tend to be controlling and bossy,
yeah.
that you get a lot of bite marks on your tongue and you relate to the competence of other people, you know, to figure out how to do the turkey correctly,
yeah.
or the whatever. It's really wonderful to have a goal to observe and anticipate and do something a little different.
You know, I followed one of those rules just a year ago. You know, a couple years ago, my brother came home. He lives in Spain, and he announced very grandly to the family that he had finally figured out what happened on 9/11, which was that, you know, the Twin Towers had been, you know, bombed. Bombs had been rigged ahead of time. So when the planes hit, they all went off spontaneously, and that's what brought the Twin Towers down. Now, it's a theory that's been out there for a while. In fact, the first person who broached it to me was Ed Asner, who played Lou Grant. He was in here once and began talking about this. I'd never heard of this before, but he was very committed to this theory. But the first year my brother brought this up, he had to scrape me off the ceiling. Now, the president was involved in laying these plans, and the vice president and all this stuff, and I was arguing. But last year he brought it up, and I just walked right out of the room and let her go, and things were fine. So,
So
how's that? I listened to you.
Walking out of the room can be good. You
yeah.
may suddenly find that you have to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
Or if you can get your own reactivity and intensity down, you can say something very light, like, you know, it's interesting that there are just so many different theories about that.
Mm-hmm.
I see it differently, and not get into it. In order to do this and maintain it, there is something that you have to do first.
Which is?
You have to find a way to lower your own reactivity and intensity.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you have to find a way to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
If you're calm, you can actually say very difficult things,
mm-hmm.
very lightly. You know, if there's no edge in your voice, you know, you can say, wow, you know, I see it quite differently. And how wonderful that we can all sit around the table
mm-hmm.
with our very different views, because some families can't do that. That's great.
What else do you do if you have a crazy Uncle Joe, a crazy Uncle Charlie? And, you know, one thing you sort of mentioned is maybe you sort of limit your exposure here. And one idea you have is if there's one very difficult family member and you know that person's going to be difficult, if you have a loving spouse, maybe that spouse can take the difficult member sort of away for a few hours and deal with that person sort of off on their own, sort of to give the other spouse a break from crazy Uncle Charlie or whatever it is. Great idea. And what a great spouse you'd have if that spouse would agree to do that.
Yes, if you have a supportive spouse, you can tell that person how he or she can be a good buffer, and you can tell them what you would hope that they would do to support you and not do. And you can also, if you're feeling very courageous, try to do something different yourself. Yeah. Here's a great example of dealing differently with a really, really difficult family member. I was working long ago with somebody whose mother was quite a religious, she put it, a religious fruitcake. I mean, very, very extreme. So when my client would say that she was in therapy with me, her mother would just bring it up, her mother would see that as the work of the devil and, mm-hmm. and would, you know, get very intense about how the daughter had to, you know, pray to Jesus and go back to this church. And usually at the holidays, they would just get into it. And so then one year, my client in therapy did something very different. And she just said very calmly to her mom, "You know, Mom, we just have two different ways. And I think it's wonderful that religion is so important to you. And, you know, I'm different and, you know, I have a different path." The next year, she did something really courageous at the holidays, which is when her mother went into what my client called her Jesus rant, my client really opened up the conversation with her, not in a critical way, but in a really curious, loving way to learn more about her mother's history with religion. So she said to her mom, "You know, Mom, religion is so important to you. And I've been thinking about that. And how old were you when religion first became important?"
Yeah.
And
you're defanging the beast at that point.
You're defanging the beast, and you're also respectfully learning more. You're broadening the frame and learning more. And she said, "You know, and which of your parents was more religious, your mom or your dad?" And she asked, "How have your religious views changed over time? And how did your mom react when you changed churches and you went off to a different church?" And she approached her mom with real respect and real genuine curiosity.
And the result was?
The result was a very different conversation, a very maturing process for my client, because when you can open up conversations like that, you really grow as a person rather than you feel stuck like a broken record going round and round. And she learned some very interesting things about her mother and religion and the history.
Well, if you have a crazy Uncle Charlie that you're dreading seeing this holiday season, how are you going to deal with him? How should you deal with him? And if you're dreading the holidays because of some big upcoming family visit, maybe you can call in and get some good advice from Harriet Lerner. Again, she's the author of Marriage Rules, A Manual for the Married and the Coupled Up. That book is now out in paperback. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address is updatedate@kcur.org. Or you can go to KCUR's Facebook page. You know, people, Harriet, wind up feeling so guilty because they know that it's family and they're not supposed to feel this way. What do you do about the guilt?
Well, there are two kinds of guilt. There's good guilt. And good guilt is when you've behaved in a way, say with your family, that really truly violates your core values and beliefs and priorities. So, for example, you go home, you get reactive, and you really get mean to your mom. That might be a good guilt because it might help you to think about how you might have said the same thing with some sense of timing and tact. But then there is bad guilt. And, you know, in my generation,
bad guilt was pretty common.
Yeah, I grew up, you know, women grew up being guilty if we were anything less than an emotional service station to others. So if we said something like, you know, I really can't pick you up at the airport because I'm going to be so busy cooking, I can't do it. And then the, you know, our sister gave us a very hard time. And then you feel guilty. You know, mm-hmm. that's sort of mm-hmm. how we're wired. On that guilt, I would say these reassuring words. No one has died of guilt yet. Now, of course, I haven't worked with everyone, but mm-hmm. no one I've worked with or that I know has ever died of guilt. Eventually, it subsides. And the challenge is to be able to be your best self and do the right thing, which may mean saying, no, you know, I'm mm-hmm. really sorry. I can't do that. I have too much on my plate. And you feel guilty, but you live with it and you do the right thing anyway
yeah.
by saying no, if you should say no. And eventually guilt subsides.
Harriet Lerner is our guest. Her book's a terrific read. Very simple, straightforward advice, helpful stuff. Marriage Rules is the book, a manual for the married and the coupled up. Let's go to some phone calls here at 816-235-2888. And our email address, again, uptodate@kcur.org. John from St. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. I'm a 77-year-old retired physician, and you bring up what I used to call a comment about the reason you go home for Thanksgiving is to find out why you left. And as a physician and a son and a father and a grandfather, you've touched me a lot. Because not until I could understand my father could I understand myself and my sons. And it's correct to know that they had suffering and how I was reacting and appropriately or inappropriately to their suffering that I was totally unaware of. And I also found that true in my practice with my patients, who, until I knew their milieu and the family that they came from, that I could understand how they were motivated to be well in the world. And these are my observations, and you've touched me a lot with this.
Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that.
Yeah.
And it takes great courage to be able to not only look at our families, but look at ourselves in our families and to get an objective picture. And, you know, you're very courageous, both to be able to observe what you just shared and also to share it with us.
Hmm. John, thank you for the good call. Let's go to Gail from St. Joe. Another call from St. Joe. Gail, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question for Ms. Lerner. Thanks very much for your books and for your insights. And I really enjoyed your comment you just made about no one has ever died from guilt. And I find that to be a very good piece of advice to use for this holiday. I'm just kind of coming out of a deep depression that has lasted quite some time. Sorry. And I find myself getting very, very anxious over the holidays. And I was listening earlier about your comments about observing and just wanted to know what you think the best plan of attack is to get through this.
What is your biggest concern about getting through the holidays? What specific thing might happen that will be difficult for you?
I think that it's just a self expectation that, you know, everything has to be just so. Everything has to be perfect. Everything needs to be a certain way, it needs to be done a certain way. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes I think I'm the only one that can do that. And I think that's probably the greatest concern is just, you know, what the expectation is for me this holiday season. And, you know, am I going to be living up to that?
Well, it sounds like you have a problem that so many of us women have. Not that it's just a women's problem, but a problem of perfectionism. And perfectionism is the arch enemy of all of us. And maybe the challenge, I mean, I don't know in what ways you are going to be expected to be perfect, but the challenge would be to decide in advance what sort of self you want to be during the holidays. You know, it's not just the challenge of being ourself, it's the challenge at the holidays of choosing ourselves. So for one person in your situation, it might be very, very courageous to be able to say to your family when they're all expecting you to be perfect and maybe cheerful, you know, to be able to say, you know, this has been a very difficult time. And I've, you know, as you know, I've struggled with this depression. And, you know, it's good to be with my family, but that's what's going on for me. For another person, for example, if a person always presents themselves as the patient or the emotional basket case, it can be an act of courage to decide that you're going to go home and you're not going to talk about your depression or your symptoms. So think about how you would like to present your best self.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation here with Harriet Lerner, author of Marriage Rules, A Manual for the Married and the Coupled Up. And our second half, we'll talk about what happens when a recent divorce enters the mix. And later on this hour, Brian McTavish will be here with our weekend to-do list. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.
Here and Now is next on KCUR, and today Republicans demand offsets for Hurricane Sandy aid, a torture debate surrounding the new Bin Laden film, and winter sets in on Syrian refugees. Also, the new Hobbit movie, more Hollywood than Tolkien? We weigh in. Those topics and a lot more on Here and Now at noon on KCUR. It's 49 degrees in Midtown, windy today but sunny and 54. Partly sunny tomorrow, high of 55, and then showers are in the forecast for Friday night into daylight hours on Saturday. Funding for KCUR is made possible in part by Paul Mesner Puppets, presenting The Nativity, where giant puppets move through the aisles as actors narrate this story of grace and love. That's December 14th through the 16th at Grace and Holy Trinity Cathedral. Tickets are available through the Central Ticket Office. And Keys for Kids, fine used pianos for a charitable cause, a local non-profit which accepts, restores, and sells donated pianos for charity. More information about donating your piano is online at keysforkids.org. It's 11:36. You're listening to KCUR and KCUR.org, a service of the University of Missouri, Kansas City.
And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed yesterday's discussion with the book doctors or the premiere of our new series, 90 Mile View, you can find those in all of our previous broadcasts at kcur.org. On tomorrow's program, reviews of the latest indie, foreign, and documentary films showing on area screens, along with our critics' picks for the best of 2012. That's tomorrow on the show. This hour, we're visiting with Harriet Lerner. She's the author of the bestseller, The Dance of Anger. She's been on The Oprah Winfrey Show, CNN, and NPR. And she's with us here in the studio talking about family times at holidays, stressful times. 816-235-2888 is our phone number and our email address, again, up-to-date at kcur.org. We have a couple of emails here that are interesting. Harriet, a listener writes, my mother-in-law and sister-in-law take turns cornering me and gossiping about each other. I've tried to be tactful and get out of the situation. I've tried to be impartial. I've said to them that I disagree, but apparently they both think I'm on their team. How can I get this to stop?
Well,
that's a tough one.
Triangles are normal in families. You're describing a triangle. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, the more anxious the family, the more intense and rigid the triangles. And actually read the Dance of Anger because it is very, very clear about how to navigate these triangles. The triangle I had in my family was that my mother would get off the plane for 5 seconds, and she'd be saying to me, let me tell you what your father has done now.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, the most important piece of advice I can give you is lightness and humor. Because if you get intense or if you try to defend one person to the other,
You'll
only rigidify the triangle, and intensity is contagious. But if you can be very light and you can say, I love you both and I hope that you both work this out, I'm sort of clueless on how to be helpful, and then you sort of lightly change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
It's the work of a lifetime because it's not like you say this once and, the triangle sort of breaks up. So you work on lightness and humor and not having the answers for anybody and scratching your head and, not being the advice giver.
I mean, that's tricky because if the parent, in your case, your mom, feels strongly, you also don't want to diminish her feelings and her own struggles. You don't want to devaluate that somehow.
Absolutely, which would be a judging position. So that I would certainly say to my mom, Mom, that sounds really tough. I mean, that's a tough situation, and I really appreciate that. And, I sure hope that you and Dad can work that out.
Mm-hmm.
I care about you both, and it sounds difficult.
We have two emails from Paul and Jean who write us with their sort of techniques for dealing with tough situations at the holidays. Paul writes this, my ex-wife and I had a signal for all social occasions, family and otherwise. Since we both wore glasses, if we took our glasses off and stuck the end in our mouths as if the conversation were intensely fascinating, that was a cue to the other to come and rescue the other from whatever conversation they happened to find themselves in. That's interesting. And Jean writes this, I have
That's
a
great.
Sister-in-law who is very argumentative and domineering, so I've taken to making myself scarce around her by serving her. I take her two boys or a dog out to play or out to my house. It serves two purposes. I end up helping her out while simultaneously not having to be subjected to her arrogant, disturbing opinions.
That is wonderful. And both of those are ways to calm things down, calm oneself down, and not throw fuel on the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we get reactive, we so often, rather than being our best selves, we do something to throw fuel on the fire. So what great ideas.
Let's complicate things just a little bit here, Harriet. Let's say this year's family get-together just happens to coincide with a recent divorce in the family, and maybe this is the first holiday that one spouse or the other won't be attending. What can that do to family dynamics, and what thoughts do you have there?
Well, divorce and remarriage, first of all, I want to preface this by saying that these are now normative life cycle events. As many people divorce as don't divorce, more or less. Remarriage is very common. A third of children will at some time live with a step-parent. And it is complicated. It's remarried families and divorce and step-families are complicated on every single front, you know, mm-hmm. practically and economically and loyalty issues and who's in whose camp, et cetera. And the holidays will be especially difficult because people are anxious during the holidays and anxiety makes people do more of the obnoxious things that, mm-hmm. you know, they ordinarily do. And, you know, my best advice is when children are involved, that it's important that you love your children more than you hate your ex, for mm-hmm. example. And again, keeping things calm and being non-reactive and not criticizing, you know, this is the basic advice, your ex. These are things that are positions of integrity and that make the holidays go better.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Let's go back to some calls here. Let's go to Richard from Kansas City, Missouri. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. I really, your guest is just really intuitive sounding.
Yes, she is.
I wish she would have been my therapist about 5 or 6 years ago when I had one, but that's too long a story. Couple of things, and one of the things, Steve, the example you gave about your brother really resonated with me because I have several brothers, and one of them is always saying just kind of semi-half-informed, crazy yeah. stuff. He's one of the guys that makes up his mind first, and the facts follow later. But I typically, first going into family gatherings, you got to realize that family members are not your friends. If they are, that's great, but they don't have to be, and you're not going to agree with on maybe even hardly anything.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, steer conversation and activities toward things that you are going to agree on. And I, two out of my three brothers are ones that I don't agree with a lot of stuff on. One's an arch conservative and one's a conspiracy therapist. So it makes for interesting conversations. But the other thing is to use humor, like yours. The therapist mentioned here a second ago, and like when, you know, your brother walks in the room and announces that 9/11 was a conspiracy, you know, you just say, yeah, and how about those moon landings? You know,
yeah.
They finally found a studio where they filmed them or something. You know, you just, you really have to lighten it up and everybody, I mean, everybody knows that, but I do also think there is a time to be direct and you don't have to be mad. But my mother was very good at this, and if somebody started gossiping or hurt to her, she would just look at them and take them by the hand and say, I really would prefer if you not talk to me about things like that,
mm-hmm.
or something along those lines. She did not run away, you know, she wouldn't spark a confrontation, but there's some things she wouldn't take and things that she felt were an injustice or hurtful to other people. That's where she drew the line. So she might listen to my brother rant and rave and laugh and then,
right.
And go on from there. So anyway, thanks for the conversation.
Yeah, Richard, very good call. Thank you.
Yeah.
And you talk in your book about this notion of how to disagree within your family without, you know, seeing the relationship severed forever, which can happen in some families, as you've talked about. What advice do you have for those kinds of situations?
Well, I would comment that our last call-in, was that?
I think it was Richard. Yeah.
Richard mm-hmm. gave fabulous advice because lightness and humor is so important.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, like, for example, I have a problem. My big sister, true to sibling position, she's the older sister of a sister, gets very, very bossy, especially in the kitchen. And, you know, this is something I've talked to her about. But, you know, if one can say it lightly and with humor, I remember saying to her one holiday season, Susan, if you give me one piece of advice more, I'm going to come over and give you a little poke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I gave her a little poke. But I did it very lightly and mm-hmm. with humor. And the second thing that Richard said, which is very important, is sometimes you do need to speak up. you know, even if it's something very simple like, you know, that hurts my feelings, or, you know, in the case of gossiping, to say something like when my mom would just talk about my dad, you know, I said to her with some humor, I said, you know, sometimes I feel like dad is like a big elephant in the room who's taking up so much of our conversation. I want to hear about you, like what's happening with, you know, I would change the topic. I think with family, it's very important if you're taking a direct position to do it without judgment, without blame, without criticism. If you're obnoxious with your partner or best friend, you might have the dailiness of living and the primacy of the relationship to repair it. But if you're visiting family or family is visiting you and you're only seeing them once or twice or three times a year, it's more difficult to repair things. So when you're saying something direct, it's important to get the edge out of your voice, to say it in one or two sentences, and to use timing and tact.
Yeah. You know, you have the most soothing voice. It's so nice to listen to your voice for our hour here. The other thing that sort of I struggle with as I get older, folks like your relative who is bossy in the kitchen, or folks who talk too much, or folks who have opinions about everything and just sort of lavish those on those around them. What frustrates me is sort of, I always think, where's the introspection? Don't people have any better sense that they're doing this? And that just sort of drives me, outside of what they're doing, just the fact they can't recognize that within themselves, I find just confounding.
People don't see yourself, don't see themselves clearly.
How not? How can they avoid something that obvious?
Well, if they are carrying around low self-esteem or a lot of underground intensity that you might not even see, it blocks the ability to be objective. And one thing that helps is if you can – we talked about this earlier – if you can see their obnoxious behavior is nothing more than a barometer of their very high level of anxiety and a barometer of their low self-esteem.
There you go.
And it's hard to do that. And by the way, regarding my very calm style.
Yes.
If you were a fly on the wall and saw me at my worst moments with my mother, my sister, my husband, my boys – you would not read my books or come to me as a therapist.
I'm glad to hear this, Harriet.
Invite me on your show.
Well,
right.
The real Harriet Lerner has been exposed here.
And it's important to realize that we all have different levels of functioning.
Yeah.
And the mind is very much like the surface of the ocean, and it will always get whipped around by weather, by reactivity. So again, calming down. However you do it before you head into that family visit is key.
Harriet Lerner is the author of Marriage Rules, A Manual for the Married and the Coupled Up. That book is now out in paperback. She's also the author of the bestseller, The Dance of Anger. And it is always a pleasure to have you here, Harriet. Come back and see us sometime soon.
Thanks so much.